Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, as I was preparing for this, I thought, well, you know, my dad, all I could hear his voice when I was doing this, for the love of God. And I'm thinking, all right, usually that means I did something wrong, and he's asking me to be forgiven. But he sure had trouble forgiving me for some reason. But anyway, so as I was looking at this, I did my research, and I found in the Bible there are 552 times that the word love is used. It's in 506 verses. 506 verses. And the thing was, when we have it in the Bible two or three times, it's important, right? So if it's in there 552 times, is it really important? Well, I think so too. And it just so happened, you know, it's funny the way the Holy Spirit works. I use that Bible study software. And of all things, usually it opens up on John 3:16. This time I opened it up and it was on John 4:40. To set this up, remember when Jesus talked to the woman at the well? And it's one of those times, because she was a Samaritan. Remember he talked to her about her five husbands, and she didn't know him or anything like that. But the thing that was very interesting about that is that she believed he was the Lord. All right. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. Now, they said to the woman, "It is no longer because about what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is indeed the Savior of the world." Now you got to remember, these are Samaritans. You know, and then Samaritans are like when you walk through a field and you step in a cow pie. In that day, that's what they thought the Samaritans were. Okay? That's why the story of the Good Samaritan is so important in the Bible. So, these are all Samaritans, and they believe that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Son of God. And so after 2 days, he departed for Galilee. And then this is in parentheses, "For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown." So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Now, I'm preaching on love today. Does this say love? It's all about love, isn't it? The people who loved Jesus. So when we look at that 552 times that love is mentioned, is love also mentioned more than that in there? Sure it is. You know, we get into 2 Corinthians when we have for those weddings, 2 Corinthians 13, "For the greatest of these is love." You always hear that at a wedding. Love is the basis of the Christian faith. Without love, are we Christians? No, I don't think so either. So I thought, what else is important about this? Well, I just had the New Testament. Let's go back to the Old Testament. When I was a kid, I had a pastor tell me one time that the Old Testament was law and the New Testament is gospel. Is that true? No, not at all. One of my favorite things when I go to visit people in the hospital is Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. I'm just going to do 1 through 4 today. I used to do the 23rd Psalm, but the 23rd Psalm deals with death, not with life. With me? But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you are mine. Was there something we said? Oh, yes. I got to have a hug before you leave. We both believe that you got to have at least 9 hugs a day. Thank you for coming back and joining us. Okay, take care. Yes. Bye-bye. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Well, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? All right. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. He's going to give countries up for you. And here it is. Because you are precious in my eye, and I love you. What does it mean when God says, I love you? You think it makes sense? I do too. And I think it's important. I'm going to read something at the end of my sermon today. All I did was print it out where love is in the Psalms. And it's 46 times it's mentioned in the Psalms. Well, we got 552 and 46 times in one book of the Old Testament. So you think it's important? Sure it is. And I'm not even going into the New Testament on this. I'm still in the Old Testament. Well, so what does it mean to love? Oh, come on. I preached on that in here many times. Anybody remember? To give what? All right, thank you. Because when we say love, okay, in English, that can be physical love, right? All right, so give physical love. No, I don't think that's what it means. Nice. Huh? Nice. Well, I won't touch on that one, Pat. But part of the thing is, too, Philadelphia. Phileo is a Greek word for love. It means brotherly love. So Philadelphia, Delphia's city, okay? So the city of brotherly love. Okay. Then we have Eros, which is erotic. Okay. Physical love. So when we start looking at this, all this stuff is defining love, but it's all different meanings that we don't define differently in English, do we? It's all under one word. But the important word is agape. Okay, agape. My first call was to Agape Lutheran Church. What a great name for a church, agape. Anybody, not you, anybody know what agape means? But what kind of love? True. Unconditional love. With sacrifice. That's Christ's love. But when you translate the word, it's unconditional love with sacrifice. So the cross, when we go to that cross, that's agape. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. Yes.
God's love, not man's love. The Greeks use a different
Right. Actually, there's two more words for love in Greek, but I'm not going to get into those today. But agape, unconditional love with sacrifice. And yes, you're right. That's why when Jesus went to the cross, it was so important. So why did God send Jesus to die for us? But why? Now, you got to remember at this time, there's no Christian church, right? So we're talking about the Jewish religion. How do you achieve forgiveness of sins in the Jewish religion? Sacrifice, okay? It's got to have blood to be a sacrifice. Life is in the blood. So, how do we end? This is called the first covenant. Remember when I do communion up here, take and drink. This is my blood. The new commandment, right? In my blood. So why? See, there's a thing that we talk about all the time, but I don't think we understand. Why did he want to change? Now stop and think. How many laws did God give us? 10. How many did man turn it into? 613. Of which you could be killed if you didn't do those. Does God say in the Ten Commandments, I'm going to kill you if you don't do this? No. Man's law, not God's law. And Sarah's right. God wanted the relationship with us that he started with. So how does he end the first covenant so we could start the second covenant? It's got to be a sacrifice important enough that it forgives or fulfills God's plan. Now stop and think about this. All right? Can God change his mind? Sure he does. But yet God's always consistent, isn't he? So that he knew it was going to come to this somewhere along the line. Yes. For God so loved the world. You know, stop and think about this for a second. When you have kids, all right, aren't we God's children? All right, so when you got kids, do you do everything for them or do you let them fail at times? Why? Because it's when we fail, we learn. If you don't fail, you don't learn. So God gave the people the opportunity to fail. For God so loved the world that he allowed them to fail. Do you ever think of it that way? Okay. So, he sent his only begotten son. Now, in the past, I've talked about, well, in fact, last week when we talked about the Nicene Creed, what had been going on where Jesus was not divinely born. He was just a man that God adopted into that position. Okay? Which is why at the Council of Nicaea there were sword fights going on between bishops on the floor of the cathedral. Sounds really Christian, doesn't it? But that's the thing. All of this stuff was going on. So God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. How can you take that scripture and downplay it? You can't. So he sent his only begotten son to die for us so that we might have eternal life in him. Right? You know, so when we start looking at this, God knew he was going to have to finish that first covenant and bring it to completion. Remember, when we talk about Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, three is what? And we've got to remember numerology, completeness. Okay, because people of the time period believed in that. So when you look at the Trinity is completeness. It's also perfection. You see what I'm getting at? So when Jesus went to that cross, he brought completeness and perfection to his people. Pastor, you're frowning. It's a different way of looking at it, isn't it? But the thing is, it's very, very important. So when we're talking agape, God so loved the world that he decided to sacrifice himself. With me? Because remember, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. God cared enough that he gave part of himself to die for us. Stop and think about that. Does that mean he values us? Does he love us? Okay, now I'm going to go to the Psalms. One of the things I have found when I use eSword, and I'll put in a word like love, and it'll bring them up. There are times that I put in a word, and all of a sudden, when I go through the different books of the Bible with that word in it, all of a sudden I have a discourse explaining what the word is. First time that happened, I sat there, and you know how the hackles will raise at the back of your neck? I saw that and I thought, my goodness. All right, so I'm going to read some verses here and talk about them as I read them. All right, I'm not going to give you. These are all from Psalm, and it starts in Psalm 18, and we're going to go to Psalm 40. And I want you to listen to this. All right. This is from David. David was delivered from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Remember when David's anointing, Saul wanted to kill him. And David said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Great salvation he brings to his king. And he shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. By the way, that's three different psalms. You see the discourse that's happening here? Remember not the sins of my youth, or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O God. And all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenants and his testimonies. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Now remember, our faith is the faith of Christ. You with me? And what does this say? And remember, this is Old Testament. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Not my faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Do you see the New Testament there? O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love. Because you have seen my affliction, you have known the distress of my soul. Please make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. Love the Lord, O you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. But how does he repay him? Positively or negatively? Negatively, so that's not in love, is it? Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Okay? Remember in the catechism, I will fear and love God. Are we supposed to be afraid of God? No. What does fear mean? I shall respect God. Not fear him. It's not, oh, I respect my Lord for what he has given me, for all his benefits. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of all your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness for the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy for me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness rise up and ever preserve me. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So rise up, come to our help, redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. Amen. I didn't write that. I just did, what are the verses of love in the Bible? And this is what came up as love that are in the Psalms. And that was Psalm 18 through Psalm 44. But yet it explains, doesn't it? What power is in the Word? Holy Spirit's talk to me today. I've been blessed. See all the different psalms that this came from? But yet, it's a discourse that explains the love of God, isn't it? Is love the power of God in our lives? Yes. And may this love, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.